Fine. So we are in the middle, if anybody's listened to my recording from last night, so we are in the middle of this cheshvan about the age of Yaakov Avinu at the top of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Right? The question is, that the Gemara is dealing with is, how do you know, why is it that we are told how old Rabbi Yishmael was? Rabbi Yishmael. Why are we told that Yishmael ben Avraham, how old Rabbi Yishmael ben Avraham was? We're not told how old Rabbi Yishmael was. Why are we told in the Torah how old Yishmael ben Avraham was? Right? The answer is so that we can work out how many years Yaakov Avinu was learning in the Yeshiva of Shem Be'er. Yeah? So, like I said, we are in the middle. Vesanya, a few lines down. Stopped where I thought it made sense. Vesanya haya Yaakov Avinu v'sha shenis borech me'aviv. So when Yaakov Avinu received the bracha from his father, a few lines down. I'll explain the whole question once we've read through all the lines, okay? Right? He was Yaakov Avinu when he received the blessing from his father, right, which was meant for Esau, but didn't go to Esau, right? He was 63 years old. And then I lost my place.
Yeah, but they don't say anything about the okay.
And that is exactly when Yishmael died.
Arbeisar 40.
I'm sorry?
Arbeisar.
Arbeisar is 14, yes. And that was exactly when Yishmael died. Dixiv vayira esav ki vayirach avregoymer. V'yichesav el Yishmael vayikach es bachalas bas Yishmael achos nevayos. מה שנאמר בעצי ישמעאל, אני יודע שהיד אחיז נבייז, נלם שהקידושה נשמעאל במייס, וסיון נבייז אחיה, שיצין לזרס. Right. So he says, how do we know that that's when Yishmael died? Because it said that right after Esav saw that Yaakov Avinu had sent away, that Yitzchak Avinu had sent Yaakov Avinu away to bury their relatives from Haran, but he realized that his mother and father didn't like it that he'd married Knaaniyos. So he went to marry a daughter of Yishmael. Right? Achos Nevayos. Said if she's a daughter of Yishmael, don't I know she's the sister of Nevayos? It must be that Yishmael was the one who started, who betrothed her. But Nevayos, it was left to Nevayos to marry her off, meaning that was when Yishmael died. That would be the only reason why her brother was the one who married her off. Yeah? Is it she's in this class? Right? 32. And then, 14 more years until Yosef is born. Ha, she being Vesheba. That means that there were 77 years. 63 plus 14 is 77. Uchziv v'Yosef ben Shleishim Shana v'Amdei L'Shanei Paro. It says that Yosef was 30 years when he stood before Paro. Ha, me'av Sheva. That means he must have been 107 when that happens. Shev de Shiva. Shev de Sava. The 7 years of plenty, right? Remember that after Yosef became the chief minister for Paro, there were 7 years of plenty in Mitzrayim. The Tarti the Kafnan, so 2 years of hunger, because it was after 2 years of hunger that Yaakov Avinu and his sons came down to Mitzrayim. Ha, me'av shitzar, that's 116. Uchziv, and it says, Yaakov, kami yeshen echayecha. How old are you, right? Vayomer Yaakov, elvar yeshen echayecha, shalishim washana. I am 130 years old. It should have said how many? 100 and... Sorry? Very good. Right, that's 14 years, is it? Mea Veshitzar Havya. Now, we're only 116 years. Why is he saying he's 130 years old? It makes no sense. Elo, Shmami Narvai, Sveshnin, the Havi Vedes, Eiver, Lechashidlu, it must be that the 14 years that he was in the house of Eiver, those years didn't count. He wasn't punished for those years in terms of his absence. And that's, if you add those 14 years in the time that he was absent from his parents' house, then suddenly the whole thing makes sense. He wasn't punished from those years he was learning Torah. That gets us back to the point that Mara was trying to make, which is that learning Torah is more important than Kibbutz Avein. Okay? Now, it should be noted as an important Musar statement, right? If there is a total axiological clash between Talmud Torah and Kibbutz Avaim, that statement would be true. Why would there be an axiological clash between Talmud Torah and Kibbutz Avaim? How could that happen? Okay, there's the very, very extreme case of Talmud Torah, then it's totally violent in Israel, but leaving that aside, right? Again, that's extreme, right? That's them telling you to violate halacha.
What? In the middle of learning, they tell you to do something.
No, they'll tell you to stop and do what they told you. Imagine a world in which no Torah is written down. Right? Certainly the world of Shem Ve'eva, if you think Shem Ve'eva had a yeshiva, then there was certainly, there were not even Torah Shebechsav, was Bechsav. Right? Nothing was written down. But even in the world of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, right? You all know the story, I'm assuming, of Rabban Gamliel, how Rabban Gamliel embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua, as told in Gemara Brachos, three times, right? And then, because Rabban Gamliel embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua three times, they kicked him out from being the Nasi, from being the head of the Sanhedrin, right? And they replaced him with who? Who knows Mishnayos? Who knows the Haggadah? Very good, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And that was the point where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was only 17 years old, but he grew some white hairs so that he would be able to become the Nazi, because the Nazi must have white hairs, right? He has to look old, so he grew three white hairs. Now he looks old enough to be the Nazi, right? And then Rabban Gamliel did what? What did he do?
Close the Beit Midrash.
No, he didn't close the Beit Midrash.
They opened it.
They opened the Beit Midrash, so they already come. Rabban Gamliel, where was Rabban Gamliel when they did this? He was at home, right? No. The Gemara in Brachos says that he came to the Beit Midrash. You've just been kicked out, and all of your admissions policies have just been chucked out the window, and hundreds of people are showing up. Thousands, maybe. It's embarrassing, right? You wouldn't jump. Rabban Gamliel shows up to the Beit Midrash. Why does he show up? Because Torah Shebichsav has not, Shovar Baal Peh has not been written down. Right? And therefore, the only way you can humanly learn is when people are talking Torah. You need to be in the Beit Midrash. That's why those lines show up frequently in the Gemara. We've already seen it a couple of times in the Sechta. Ma chidush hayav in Beit Midrash hayom, right? What was the chidush? What was the new ideas in the Beit Midrash? Nor why is that such a big deal? Because the only place that there's going to be a chidush is in the Beit Midrash where people are learning. Right? If people aren't talking Torah, meaning in the Beit Midrash, then no Torah. Right? So you can imagine that the only way you're learning Torah is you're leaving your parents' house. It's the only way it's happening literally. Right? And for that reason, I would be careful about the application of this statement in the Gemara Bizman Hazel. Right? It is something to be careful about. I'm not asking the Shaila Halacha Maisa, because if you have a Halacha Maisa issue on this, you should obviously ask a Shaila from somebody carefully and sit down and whatever. But having said that, right, just to think about it, the world in which inevitable clashes between Talmud Torah and Kibbutz Avaim came up no longer exists. At least in a normal course of events. Okay? Very good. So it says ever meis la. So it says the sign of the Bryce says that Yaakov Inu beis ever mutman arba says strange. And that's why the Bryce says that Yaakov Inu was in Aver's house for 14 years. Aver meis laachar she yorad Yaakov Inu laaran laraim shtei shanim. Aver died 2 years after that, after Yaakov Inu left. Yatza Misham Uvol Aram Naraim. He left Aver's house and he went to Aram Naraim. Nimzak She'amad Ala Be'er Ben Shivim B'Sheva Shana. That means that he was 77 years old when he stood on the well. And what did he do on the well?
The stone.
Sorry?
Move that big stone.
Yeah, why was he moving the stone?
The sheep
of Rachel Imenu, right? Who else? Which other figure in Torah had exactly the same story?
Moshe.
Very good. Moshe Rabbeinu Tzipora, right? Okay. I don't think that's accidental. I don't want to go into that's not our topic right now, but just to make note of the comparison, right? Uminalan Dela. And then if you don't do the math, now if you go through the whole cheshbon, how long was he in the house of Lavan Harami? Does anybody remember?
14.
Sorry?
14.
He was in the house of Lavan Harami 14 years plus. Sorry? 14 years for working for Leah and Rachel, and how long after?
Six.
Six, very good. 20 years in the house of Lavan Harami, that makes him 107, no? Now he's 107. That means... there was supposed to be that. Then... No, I've lost... No, four, sorry. 14 years until Yosef was born. 14 years from 77 is 101. And then another... No, this isn't working. 14 years until Yosef was born. Oh no, fine, there were 28. Basically what I'm saying is that there were 28 from when he left his father's house until Yosef was born. That's the way the math works. Right? Okay, fine. Gevaldik.
Has the stuff in his desk shifted?
What's my place? Okay. Uminalan de Lemianish, and how do we know he wasn't punished for his 14 years that he was sitting in the basement of learning? Tatania, we have the Raisa Nimsa Yosef Shapirish Meaviv Esrim Vishnaim Shana, Hashem Shapirish Yaakov Vino Meaviv. We know that Yosef left his father for 22 years, meaning the 20, just like Yaakov Vino left his father Yitzchak for 22 years, meaning he was punished with Yosef's absence, just like Yitzchak had to endure his absence for 22 years, right? 20 years in Lavan's house, 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel, 6 years to make money, and then 2 years in Sukkos, right? That's 22 years. So Yosef was absent from his house 22 years, except for he was not absent for 22 years. We've just heard he was absent for 36. Yeah? Therefore, right, we can see that those 14 years were not counted. The Yaakov class in Vishita Havian, there were 36 years for Yaakov Vino El Arviz at Aviv Eiver, rather, he was not punished for the years that he was in the house of Eiver. Those were not years that he wasn't, that we were holding it against him, he wasn't Mekayim Kibbut Aveim, because he was learning Torah. Therefore, you see that learning Torah is Doche Kibbut Aveim. Okay? Ella Arvisa de Aviv Eiver, sorry. Soif the Vais Lavan Esrim Shnin Havin. But wait, he was only in the house of Lavan for 20 years, not 22. Ella Mishum de Shtai Ve'orcha Tarsim Shani. It took him 2 whole years to get from Haran to back to Eretz Yisrael, to Hebron where his father was, right? That was half the problem. He went from Aram Naraim all the way to Sukkot, and he stayed in Sukkot for 18 months. But the fact that he's in 18 months, there is a problem. Because he built for himself in Sukkot a house, and for his mikne, for all of his herds, he made Sukkot, he made shacks for them to live in. And Beisel, he spent 6 months, and he brought Karbonis there. Therefore, you can see he spent 2 years on the way before he got home. That's 22 years, that's how long he was absent. Hadron Alach Megillah Nikrais. Any questions? I'm sorry? Okay, top. Brief hakdama to the next perek, right? The next perek is, the first perek was about, in terms of Mishnayos, it was really about the dates on which the Megillah is read, sorry about this, right? And the dates on which the Megillah is read, and the dates of other certain other things happen, and then, ketotza amikach, the Gemara got into the Ein Veins, right? A sort of set of, you know, tangential comparisons, right? We have multiple institutions which are all very similar, right? And the Gemara, based on that, went into a pirush in all of Masechet Megillah. Yeah? Not all of Masechet, sorry, all of Megillah's Esther. That was what happened in the first parak. Now, second parak is a little different. Second parak is the halachos of Kriyas HaMegillah. We're going to get into other halachos of Kriyas HaTorah and how things happen in Shul as a result. Okay? And that's going to carry us through to the third parak as well. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Somebody who read the Pesukim of the Megillah, Lamfreyali shouldn't even sack, because it means out of order, right? If not in the correct order, Loyotza, you didn't fulfill your obligation. Kral Peh! Right, if you read it, Val Peh, meaning you didn't read it outside of the Klaf. If you read it from a Tanakh, which we don't have here for me to wave around to demonstrate to you, but if we did, I would do that, right? Then, I thought this was a Tanakh, right? Then, you're still Kore Baal Peh for these purposes. So it has to mean that mean Tokha Klaf. Okay? Klaf has to be written with Yo, it has to be done as a bit seer to it as we saw yesterday, the whole show, right? Yeah? Kara Targum Bechol Lashon Lo Yatza. If you read it, translated into any language, then you would not be Yotzi. If you were Kara Targum Bechol Lashon, if you read it in... However, you can read it to somebody who speaks a foreign language in a foreign language. Okay, this requires explanation. The Mishnah is saying that, and this is the way you pass it, if you read the Megillah to someone in Hebrew, it makes no difference if they understand it. Right? They fulfill their obligation anyway. If you read it to them in English, French, I don't know what other languages have, Afrikaans, or Aramaic, or any other language other than Hebrew, then it depends on if they understand. If they understand it, they were fulfilled their obligation. If they didn't understand it, they did not. But technically, this is mutter. Okay? It should be noted, we'll do this again tomorrow, but just right off the bat, the minhag is not to do this, for a few reasons. Firstly, because there is a question of how you write out a Megillah in a foreign language. Meaning, which letters do you use? Do you use the Hebrew letters, or do you say English letters, Latin characters? This is a very serious question. Right? We were not exactly sure. And secondly, right, there are some words we simply don't know how to translate. Some words are written in Megillah and we don't know exactly what they mean. Right? If you hear even one word and it's incorrect, it's an incorrect translation, then you're not Yossi at all. And therefore, the minhag is only to do the Megillah in Hebrew. Okay?
It's important because
this compares to other shilas, for example, Kriya Shema, which is also mutter to do in other languages, as we're going to see in a minute. We really do pass into people who have no clue whatsoever that they can read Kriya Shema in English. I know at least one person has received that psak, Lamaisa. Not from me. Right? That would not be a raya. From somebody much more important than I am. Okay?
Say Kriya Shema in English.
Yeah. Because that person does not speak a word of Hebrew, did not speak a word of Hebrew. Okay? Fine. So he says, somebody who hears Megillah written in Hebrew, Ashuris means Ksav Ashuris. The Hebrew text that we see in the Torah, Ksav Ashuris is called, what Yotze? If you read it with gaps in the middle, not gaps as in you skip things, gaps as in you took a break. You went to have a drink, you had a meal, whatever it was, you were Yotze. As long as you had everything in order, it doesn't matter if there were breaks in the middle. Right? Same thing, misnamnem, you're falling asleep. Right, well, the Gemara will go ahead and define what exactly counts as going the falling asleep. You are Yotze if you're falling asleep when you hear the Megillah. It should be noted, as we will see in the Gemara, that does not mean that if somebody's sitting there and snoring yes next to you, that they've heard the Megillah. Right, it's obviously going to be a sort of more dozing off stage. Yes? Yes. That's what I said. If it's that means reading it in Hebrew, it's called Ashuris because the letters are called Ksav Ashuris. Right? Even if you didn't understand. I said, if I read to you in English, I read to you in Greek, whatever, right, you would have to actually understand language. If you hear it in Hebrew, you don't understand the word, it doesn't matter. If you decided on Purim to write out the Megillah, and you, as you were writing it out, you read the words to yourself, that's the way you're meant to write Purim in Tanakh. right? Or you were darshaning the Megillah, pasuk by pasuk, on Purim, just one pasuk at a time, you darshaned everything in the word. Or, right, you were reading through the Megillah and you were checking to see if it's correctly written, and therefore you were reading all the words. As long as you intended to be Yotzei to Kriya by doing that, you could be Yotzei to Kriya by doing that. That would be fine. Right? It should be noted there are actually deos that you're meant to stop and explain the verses of the Megillah even in the middle of the Kriya. The Minhag must do so. But, right, there are deos, that is the way you're meant to read Megillah, with explanations. Right? I know of one place in Chutzlaretz, which is a very Kiravishul, people go there really don't know, like they're not so connected, and the rabbi actually does this. Right? He has explanations in the middle of the Kriya. Right? Right, if it was written in Sam, Sikra, Koimos, and Kankaltim, there's a different types of ink. Alha Niyar, on Niyar, which means the nicest form of parchment, right, or Diftira. Right, sorry. It's not the nicest form of parchment, it's the second nicest form of parchment, or Diftira. Diftira is... parchment goes through three stages, right? The first stage is called diftera. It can be written on, it's much lower quality, the letters will fade with time, right? It's also harder to write on it, and if you rub it out, you'll ruin the parchment, right? You can recognize parchment which is diftera because it's red, right? We tend to ask him that this is possible for any sefer in Tanakh, partially based on his Mishnah. The reason why you might have seen it is if you've seen a Teimani Sefer Torah. Right? The Rambam passes Mutar write a Sefer Torah on this, and therefore Teimanim still do it. Right? So if you see an old school Teimani Sefer Torah, right, it might have been written on Diftara, the parchment might be read.
Even if it's Mutar, why locked in with a specific Diftara?
Cheaper.
Wait, you need to look at the...
Niyar is the next step up. It's smoother, it's not totally... If anybody's seen the parchment of the Sefer Torah up close, which I'm assuming everybody here has, but it's very smooth, right? It's very smooth, it's very nice, it's good quality material, it doesn't tear easily, etc. Niyar is somewhere in the middle. Right, it's already smoothed off a little bit, it's not fully treated. Right? Lo yotza. So if you use an inferior ink, meaning an ink that will fade with time, or you write it on Niyar on Diftara, then you are not Yotzei the Chiv of Kriyas HaMegillah. You cannot use that. Right? Ad Shetehe Ksuva Ashuris, unless it is written in Ashuris, meaning that same text is used in Kriyas HaTorah, and by the way, that includes the Targim, the little ticks on the end of the Yod and things like that, the Tekutza Shel Yod, the Ksorim, the crowns that we put on letters are a little bit more of a Shaila. If they're not there, but the Yevit is a Kasher. I don't want to go into the details of Ksiva Stam now, but just to be aware that issue exists. Right, the targim are more important, the ticket in the yod and then the tags that come out of the top or bottom of a letter, right, are very important. The ksarim, the crowns, are a shayla, right, if they're ma'akiv or not, right, but in any case, if it's written in ksav ashuris al ha sefer, meaning on fully worked parchment, right, uvidyo, and with dyo, which is an ink which the Gemara describes that how to make it, it never ever fades, right? The Gemara will go into more detail on all these questions. Gemara manani mili, where does words come from? The Mishnah. Amar Rava de Amar Koch Kich Savam Ovechi Zamana Masmanam Lafreya Loy Ach Savam Lafreya Loy. Just says Rava, how do you know you're not allowed to read it in the wrong, the psukim in the wrong order? Because it says Kich Savam Ovechi, you should read it like they wrote it and like their time. Just as when the events happened in their time, they happened in the order that happened, they happened and not in a different order. Right? So to when you read it, you should read it in the order that they happened and not in a different order. Midi kriya ksiva hacha asiya ksiva dichsiv li yosayisim eshnei yamim. But the pasuk says the pasuk doesn't talk about reading Megillah. It says li yosayisim eshnei yamim aile haburim aile, right, kichsav amul chizanam. It doesn't mention kriya Megillah. So how do you know this kichsav amul chizanam is referring to the Megillah, specifically reading the Megillah, the order in which you have to read the pesukim? Ela mehaka, rather must be from a different place. These days were remembered and they were done. Nasim. It compares the remembering of those days, the zechira, to the doing of those days. Meaning, the remembering of them is compared to how they actually happened. Right? Just as when the events actually happen, they happen in one order and not in a different order, so too when they are remembered, they must be remembered in a particular order. Okay? Fine. Tana. V'chein v'halal. This is true also for halal. V'chein v'kriyash ma. It's true for kriyash ma. It has to be psukim, have to be read in a particular order. Right? U'v'sefilah. And the brachos of tefillah have to be mentioned, have to be said in a particular order. This is actually a machlokes rishonim. Should the word or tefillah be there? Rashi thinks that if you, Rashi in brachos, the first parashah thinks that if you said a brachos tefillah in the wrong order, you are yotzei bedieved. You should not do the chil bedieved. You are yotzei.
How much minister?
Yes. Tosfos say if you met the order of the brachos mixed up, you are not yotze absolutely. It's just that if you either forget a bracha or you say the brachos in the wrong order, you can go back to the place where you messed up. You don't have to go all the way back to the beginning. Okay? That's excluding the first three. If you mess up in the first three, you go all the way back to the beginning. And if you mess up in the last three, you go all the way back to Ritze. Okay? Halal minan. How do we know that halal has to be done in a very particular order? Rabba amar dichsimi mizrach shemesh ad meyach. Right? The pasuk says, into the mizrach shemesh ad meyach, mehulal shemesh ayim. From the east until the west. Right? The idea is that halal is like the sun. The sun doesn't skip stages when it's going through the sky. It, like, you know, goes from east to west without, you know, breaks. Doesn't jump. Right, so too halal doesn't jump. Rav Yosef Amar, Zeh Yom Asa Hashem. This is the day that Hashem is Zeh Yom Asa Hashem Nagil Naschavoy. Right, this day, I suppose the idea is like this. Right, exactly like what we are doing and not in a different day. Just like the day, right, has a particular order, so too halal has a particular order, right? Rav Avya Amar, Rav Avya, I said, Yehi Shem Hashem Vavarach, Mi'ata Ve'ad Olam. Right, Yehi Shem Hashem Arach. Hashem will be blessed. Rashi says Kehavayoso, just as he is now, so it will always be. Right, the blessing of Hashem does not change; it is in a particular order. Right, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Bar Yitzvah, same Rav Acher Bar Yaakov, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak Bar Yitzvah said, "Omeyu Rav Acher Bar Yaakov, Armiyachon Miata Biadelam, Miata Biadelam, from now and forever." Meaning, from now until forever is a span of time which goes in an order that does not change once again. Right? The idea is that that's correct. Krishna, how do you know Krishna can't be read in the wrong order? The Pesukim can't be read out of order. Bediyevit. Obviously, that's clear. You wouldn't read the Pesukim out of order. The question is Bediyevit, if you did. How do you know you're not Yotze? The Sanya, as we say, Kriya Shema Kich Savah, Divrei Revi. There's a pasuk. We have a machlokes Tanoim. Kriya Shema has to be written Kich Savah as it's written, meaning what would it have to be if it's written, if it's read as it is written? That would mean. Sorry? No, Dafka in Hebrew. Right, Rebbe's opinion is, against what I just told you, that Krishna can be written only in Hebrew. The Chamarim, the Choloshayin, the Chamarim say in any language, and that is why we pass in. My time to Rebbe, Amar Krav, the Hayu, the Havi Asanyu. Why does Rebbe say this? It says, the Hayu. The Havi Asanyu. The apostle says, the Hayu, the Hayu, the Brahmaila. Right? Just as they are now, they will always be that same way in that same language. They will be said the same way. And why they say it can be said in any language, right? Shema, right? It says Shema. They can be said in any language which you can hear, meaning any language at all, right? Except for
sign language.
You obviously can't sign a Kriya Shema based on that drasha. No. Wait, very good. We will continue this deal with this deal tomorrow.